30, and that makes it time for K1 Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain, or what most people think of as a phone. That is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and uses radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Hosts for K1 Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mall from the IT Village. If it's technology related, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up your phone, whether it's rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for K1 Tech Talk.
Good morning, 48 degrees. It is 7:31 on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3, 48 degrees in downtown Bartlesville. And it's time for K1 Tech Talk. Charles Miller and Charles Mall, both in studio this morning. If you have a technology-related question for one or both of them, give us a phone call, 918-336-1400, 336-1400. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
What's been going on in your worlds this week?
Oh, just more
staying busy.
Staying busy. Yeah, it's like life at the zoo. That's what I tell people.
Yeah.
I said you just have to remember when all the cages are open, you know, it's going to be busy.
Yes. As soon as those doors fly open on my business, I'm busy.
Yeah.
It's been a great week, though. We've gotten a lot accomplished, and we left off last week where we were talking about terminologies and different ways of helping our customers understand what we're talking about, because a lot of times you get lost when you hear big words and
that's correct.
You're not familiar with them. We want to help you out a little bit with them.
Yeah, because you do get lost in the maze, because there's so many acronyms now that you know, every industry has its own language.
Yes,
you know,
they
just
do.
Like, and even within our technology world, there are several languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you kind of have to know all the dialects just to kind of be able to communicate, and that's part of our challenge, is taking time to kind of educate our following so that we can you know, not spend so much time just educating them.
Exactly. And usually you can tell the level of where a person's at with what type of mobile device they have that I'm working with, or technology that I'm dealing with, based on the questions they ask. You know, some of the terminology hints to us as to what level we're dealing with, so we can talk to them, you know, at a simpler level or more complex level.
Yeah,
each person has a different way of understanding how things work, and sometimes don't understand the terms that we use to explain things.
Right.
So it helps us to be able to help them.
Sure, and then you got the marketing twist to it, where people are selling products, and now all of a sudden you get caught with another maze of new, you know, buzzwords that people use to kind of sell their products. So there's, like for example, this week I had to deal a lot with backups, you know, backup scenarios, because there's, and it may sound like a simple thing, but there's a lot of facets to it. Like I had one church, as a matter of fact, that their system went down. Of course, it's got all their stuff on it. Here's Sunday's approaching, and we got to get ready to get everything back in order. And when we went to do a restore for the backup, he said, well, I don't really have everything that I had before. I said, well, you know, let's see how you backed up, you know, what you had. So, like their email, for example, wasn't backed up. So if they just pick up new mail, but they weren't getting any old. So so that's why it's nice to kind of be aware.
Yeah, okay, what you're backing up.
What you're backing up.
Knowing what folders that need to be backed up, how you're backing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happens a lot with iTunes and things backing up your systems there. You have to click on everything that you want it to back up, or it won't back up the whole entire phone.
Yeah.
You have to tell it specifically what you want to back up.
Well, and then there's so much stuff that's automated also. You know, when it's automated, okay, you just assume it's doing this or doing that. That's why it's good to kind of have a little sanity check once in a while and actually test these things.
It is.
Does it actually work, you know, like you think it does? And there's only one way to find out.
Yep.
You kind of have to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that I was thinking that right as you guys were talking, is I kind of assume that my iPhone is backing up, and But you run into storage issues sometimes, and then you have to unclick certain things to back up because you're out of iCloud space or something like that. And to be honest with you, I haven't really looked at it in a while, so I suppose if my phone fried today, I don't know for 100% certainty what I would have on it tomorrow.
Well, you know, the last restore I did for an iPhone, there was a lot of music that was missing. And come to find out, the iTunes backs up, you know, because Apple supports their products, so they're going to back up whatever they buy on the iTunes store.
Sure.
But anything they've added other than that, wasn't restored. It didn't go to the cloud.
Yeah.
So that you have to kind of, okay, you got to treat that differently. How are you going to get those things backed up?
Exactly. Well, when you go into like iTunes for a phone, for instance, and you're going to do backup to the cloud, all the cloud information is right there. It asks you about your contacts. You can check your photos. You can check your videos. You can check your notes. All the different things that you want to backup, you have to make sure you highlight every one of those, or your backup's not going to be successful. And then once it's backed up, of course, everything that's on your phone at the present will be backed up to the cloud. But sometimes you'll forget to click one of those buttons and you're going to lose some information. So it's always wise to check those things very carefully before doing the backups.
Yeah, it's good to go through the exercise because, it's better to find out early instead of late.
Once you lose that data, yeah, you know, you're a sad man.
Yeah.
I've lost some things before where I was just really, really sad. It can happen.
Usually, if my memory serves me correctly, the iPhone will tell you, and I'm not sure about other phones, but the iPhone will say this phone has not been backed up in X amount of days or weeks, if for whatever reason it's not backing up. In my case, it's usually because I'm out of room on the iCloud, and it wants me to buy more, or I need to choose something to not be backed up. And I believe this happened to me not that long ago, and I think I decided I didn't really care about many of these pictures, the pictures that I wanted to have elsewhere, so I decided not to back up the photos. But I think that the iPhone will usually tell you if you're not backing it up.
One of the greatest things that just came out for Apple that a lot of people aren't aware of, one of the biggest gripes that I hear between the Apple and the Android is that Apple has a specific amount of data space that they have available. So if you buy a 16 gig phone, that's all you've got. You can't increase the amount of gigs on your phone. Well, that's not true. They've recently come out with a device, PhotoFast is the name of the company that has designed it, and it's spelled PhotoFast. So PhotoFast, and you can find them on Amazon or just about anywhere, but you want to buy that brand. But PhotoFast has a iFlash drive now that you can plug into your Lightning port on your phone and back up 64 gigs or 128 gigs worth of data. And now you can move all your photos over there and you can literally plug it in and view your photos right on the phone without having to put them back on your phone. So it's kind of a nice way of storage. And so if you don't have a good amount of space on your iPhone, you can increase it with PhotoFast. It's a wonderful program.
Talking technology this morning on K1 Tech Talk. If you have a question, software or hardware related for the guys, give us a phone call, 918-336-1400, 918-336-1400. We'll be back after this.
Great fans are part of what helps lead the team to victory. That's why American Heritage Bank is your number one fan. Since 1905, American Heritage Bank has put its customers and communities first. As a full-service bank, American Heritage is committed to meeting your banking needs. Whether you need us once a week or once a month, we are here to serve you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com and let us be your number one fan. American Heritage Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC.
I'm visiting with Brandon Huff from Bartlesville Custom Cabinets. Brandon, tell me what Bartlesville Custom Cabinets is all about.
The bulk of our business is custom cabinets for whether it's new homes, remodels, do-it-yourselfers, anybody in the market for some sort of cabinet in their house, whether it's bathrooms, kitchens, entertainment centers, office cabinets, or the whole house. We do new home constructions, and that's our main line.
Bartlesville Custom Cabinets, providing all your cabinet needs. 398681 West 2400 Road. Call 918-440-5981 to get a free estimate on your new project.
48 degrees. Good morning. We've got about 21 more minutes until 8 o'clock. You're listening to Tech Talk this morning on AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Charles Miller and Charles Mall with us in studio. Once again, if you have a technology question, you can call us at 918-336-1400. You guys were talking terminology and a little bit about backing up, because I know that Mr. Miller said that he dealt with that earlier this week.
Yes, and terminologies are, a lot of people don't understand them. I mean, a lot of my customers don't understand them, you know, but we use them all the time, the terms that, you know, fall into our categories either with phones or with computers. And what's the most used terminology that gets misused in your business?
Oh, shoot. It pretty much, that's such a wide open thing, because there's always a level setting. You know, I think of like the, you know, in the Star Trek, The Next Generation, they have this thing called the Prime Directive.
Yes. Right?
And the Prime Directive is basically kind of level setting to the point where, okay, you're going to talk to the at this culture at whatever level they are.
Right. So you can't interfere with it.
Yeah. Right. So you can't interfere with the culture so that they have their natural development cycle.
Yep, yep.
And so communication is kind of that way. You kind of have to set it on where people are because everybody's at a different stage, it seems like. And that's why with our business, we have to automatically kind of tune, okay, what channel are we on today?
Sure.
You know,
we're
channel 1 or channel 11. So we basically adjust our conversation to that and then try to basically bridge that gap on where we're going, you know, with our issues.
And separating, you know, one of the terminologies that I think most of the people in my business that come into my business have a hard time with, especially if they're bringing in a desktop to be repaired, because I don't do computer work, but they always associate the fact that computers and electronics are the same, but they're really not. I mean, the electronics run the computer, but the software that makes everything in your computer work, all the different programs and so forth, is a totally different animal. And I can understand how all the hardware that makes that work, but I don't always understand the software. So there's two different animals there. That's why we have computer shops and you have electronic shops. They're two separate businesses.
Yeah, it's software is almost like a gaseous or a liquid state, you know, because
it's
constantly changing. It doesn't have the same form, and just as soon as you get used to something, it'll change.
And my technology in software, I mean, my knowledge goes back to, you know, mid-2000s. That's about as far as I went with computer. You know, I used to run a computer shop back in Colorado. I had my own shop there. And so, you know, we were back in the Windows 98, Windows 2000, all that. That's about the limit of my extent of dealing with Windows and NT and all that. But I never went further into it other than, you know, XP and then Vista and all the different levels that we have now, you know, that we're moving away from again. It, like you said, it's a floating thing. So if you stop at one point, you lose a lot of that information that, you know, some of the terminologies you guys are using now in computers is even gone from me. I haven't stayed in it long enough to keep the acronyms and all those things in there. I just don't know.
Well, it keeps breaking down even further into more specialized areas. Like, for example, storage. There's a whole set of terms just having to do with just storage.
Sure.
The cloud has its own acronyms and language, and then you have the security.
You know, I learned a lot about that this week listening to the government fighting Apple.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of terminologies that I had to sit and go back and do some research on because there was, you know, software is not my thing, but I started understanding why Apple is saying, look, we are not going to write another software package just specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking my company to write software and to take time from my employees to benefit you. This is against the Constitution. I shouldn't have to write a program for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This battle has gotten really crazy. And so I've been listening to some of the terminologies they use, and some of it I had to go, wow, I have to go back and research that because I don't understand what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about encryption, and a lot of things that happen in encryption. That's a deep subject when you start talking about encryption.
Yeah, there's a trade show right now. It's called an RSA. It's a security organization that basically educates, you know, security topics for cyber issues, and that's their biggest theme is encryption, because it's right on the forefront of the government. Because, like, for example, encryption is used in so many different ways. You might get into a game where you're playing with somebody in somewhere else in the world.
Sure.
Well, that data is encrypted, and guess what? You know, like those terrorists in Paris. Remember when they had that attack there?
Mm-hmm.
They used games to communicate. They actually used the encryption that the government couldn't read. Well, okay, there's something else to address.
Sure.
So you can see how the government's getting involved, because now they can't read. It's just like not being able to tell who's coming in and out of your house. You know,
and you really need to familiarize. People need to familiarize themselves with terminologies and different ways of seeing how things work, because in emails, for instance, some of the emails that I get, if you're not careful enough to read through those emails and understand that there are certain terminologies that companies use when addressing the customers that they're dealing with, if you don't see that somebody is addressing you in a separate form, you could be hacked, are used really easily. I found that out this week with Square. Square has anybody who uses Square can take credit cards on your mobile devices anywhere that you're working. An email came out, something happened to Square this last week where they had shut down for a whole 2 hours during the middle of a afternoon, which was really, really bad for customers like for me, because I'm trying to use their service and can't use it, and that's how I make my money. So it kind of shut me down for a couple hours, and people next door to me as well. And so then I start getting all these emails right after that says you have a deposit that going into your account. And it was like a fairly substantial, it wasn't a huge amount, but it was enough to say, because most people would overlook it and say, okay, I'll go look into that one. But it was like a $1,500 or $2,000 deposit amount that they needed to deposit, but they needed me to log into my account, and then they were gonna make that deposit go through, but they were having a problem depositing it without me authorizing it. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's kind of a weird thing. And then I started looking at the email a little closer. It doesn't say Square customer, or Square Mr. Miller, or Square NBR, which usually says that. It says Square, and then it says NBR Electronics, or Square Mr. Miller, or so, you know, has my name. Instead, it said Square Customer, which it never addressed me in any of my emails with them as Square Customer. So it was just the way that little bit of terminology, just the way they were using my name, changed everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of, you're really just kind of hitting the tip of the whole social engineering exercise, where people are using things that should be familiar to you, and they're scamming you.
Yeah,
you
know, had I logged in right then, I would have given them all my information with login and password.
Yeah.
So I immediately went to my Square through their app and dealt with the customer service and sent them an email of that particular email and said, look, what do you think of this? Is this a scam? And immediately I got a letter back from them. Yes, it is. Please do not open that.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you can see what these guys do. If you're not fully aware, you can get used really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just terminology and things they use, the way they address you.
Yep.
Looks like we have a phone call. Good morning. You're on with K1 Tech Talk.
Yes, this is really nothing to do probably with what y'all are talking about, but we have a very, very, very important question. How do you keep people that hack Facebook, how do you keep them from hacking you, or what's the danger of that?
Well, there's so many different ways to come into Facebook, but the you know, there is a setting in Facebook where you can go to your security settings, and what I do is I actually have it where if any new account accesses it from like a new device, it recognizes the change and it says, okay, you know, there's a way to verify that. Like, for example, it texts me. It says, okay, you have a new account, you know, accessing it. Do you want to verify this? And then you have to go through another step to say this is okay. And that's probably the best way to keep people from getting in, because, you know, they've got so many different devices now that hacking passwords. You know, that's the other thing you really need to do, is think about using a password that's not simple to crack, because they have devices now that will try accessing your account by, you know, varying the passwords, and they can do like 1.5 million hits per second. Now think about that. How many passwords could that?
Yeah, so, that's a huge amount.
Yeah, so there's actually devices. There's appliances you could buy that actually do that.
And well, I knew that there was a device that could do that, because we took it out to the one computer, and they broke the password because it was my cousin's and he died, and we had no clue of what the password was. And we wanted to see if there was any information on the computer that would tell us anything about him, because we hadn't seen him in 20 years and his sister even had, you know. And so I knew that, but I didn't know, you know, just an individual, you know, doing it. We just wondered.
Yeah, it's this social engineering thing that's going on. People are trying to masquerade as somebody that you know. As a matter of fact, this week I had several Facebook requests that says, okay, you know, I want to be your friend, and I know it was somebody that died just the week before. So, you know, it's almost like immediately, you know, when the account got, went away, they were using that account to try to, starting by befriending you.
Sure.
Yeah. But,
So some of those things, you know, you just have to kind of think through.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. If I know I'm their friend, I do not befriend them.
Yeah. I'll tell you, trusting things these days is getting more precarious, especially the online stuff, because you can masquerade.
Right.
Now you can't see somebody in the eye. You know, you don't have that face-to-face, acknowledgement that people really are who they say they are.
Right. Okay, well, this is a friend of mine that had the problem. I've never had anyone hack me. That don't mean it couldn't happen today, you know.
So, I'd say set your security settings in Facebook and get a password that's reasonably, complex.
Thank you for the phone call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye. If you have a phone call, once again, you can call us at 918-336-1400. And, the security seems to come up almost every single week regardless. And when you guys were talking, I was just thinking about an instance when I was in college. My internet was down, wasn't working. And it was like 2 a.m. or something, and I was working on a paper where I needed internet or something like that. So I was getting rather frustrated, and it was late, and I was trying to find the AT&T customer service number. And I normally wouldn't do this, but I happened to take the number off a Google ad rather than going to AT&T's website to get their customer service number. And I called, and I had called their customer service a couple times before, and I thought, this kind of sounds weird or different. And I was talking to the person, and I could just tell that something was a little bit off. They didn't seem to really know what I was talking about, and they were really trying to get me to give them all my information. And so I hung up on them and figured I could just call back if I need to. And I looked back at what I'd looked at, and I realized what I was calling was a fake number. Someone had put a Google ad on their page with a number that was really prominently displayed, so when you looked up what's AT&T UVerse customer service, that's the first thing you see, and if you're not paying attention, and I would assume that eventually they were going to try to get me to give them my credit card or something. We didn't get that far down the line, but there's a lot of people doing stuff like that all over the place.
Yep.
It's a dangerous thing. It's a game that people play. One of the biggest ones on Facebook that I've recently seen was people sell in their garage sales a lot of times books that they have, and people have been known to sell their own school yearbooks, and people buy those, and what they do is they go find all the friends that you went to school with and get those names and impose themselves as your friends that grew up with you in high school. And oh man, listen, I've got all these pictures. If you want me to, I'll send you all these pictures that I have taken back when we were in high school. It just send me this amount of money, and I'll send you copies of all these pictures. And that's how they were making money. And this guy, they ended up busting him for $3-something million that he had made off of people doing that scam. Hmm. So you got to be really, really careful.
Yeah.
K1 Tech Talk this morning on AM 1400 and FM 93.3. We'll take our last break. Once again, if you have a phone call, still a few more minutes, 918-336-1400.
New to Pawhuska is Premier Gun and Pawn. Not so new to Pawhuska are pawnbrokers and owners John and Debbie Long. They've opened their doors where you'll find almost anything, with new items arriving every week. Artwork, beautiful, hard-to-find antiques, Pendletons, broadcloth and beading supplies, small and large cedar chests, along with a cedar armoire. Hand-carved, life-size, and smaller wood art, and many unique items are in the mix, with guns, ammo, fishing, and hunting supplies. They carry high-end handmade guns, collector guns, and then your very affordable guns. Many to choose from. You'll find tools, tackle, knives, gold and silver jewelry, gold and silver coins for the coin collector, and metal signs as you peruse the large open space of the newly opened Premier Gun and Pawn. And yes, they buy gold and silver, so stop by. Hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 6, and Saturdays 9 till 2. Premier Gun and Pawn at 540 Kaihika in Pawhuska. Call 918-287-3456.
Winter is here, and Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Keep him at bay with a new Train home comfort system from Ernest Heat and Air. Keep the cold where it belongs, outdoors. Lower your utilities with a higher efficient furnace and use that extra cash for a nice summertime vacation. Purchase a home comfort high efficiency system before time runs out, and they'll give you a free furnace. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057, 918-335-3057. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
48 degrees, 5 minutes until 8 o'clock. That means we have five more minutes of K1 Tech Talk. 918-336-1400, the phone number to call. Charles Miller and Charles Mall both with us in studio, NBR Electronics and the IT Village. Talked a little bit about terminology this morning, also some backing things up and a lot of security, which, as I mentioned before, seems to always be a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, it never ends. Not right now. I think that's the big thing. I think it's security, storage, and the cloud.
Yes, security, storage, and the cloud.
That's it. That's our world now.
That's what you and I, well, you deal with it more than I do, but I do deal with the cloud quite a bit. And teaching people how to use it is another thing.
Yeah, it's getting around. It's knowing where you're at and what you're doing and where your stuff is. You know, that's kind of what our topic was today.
And you've got to be so careful these days not to link your account with somebody else as well. I think every owner of a phone, especially if you're an iPhone user or an Apple user, that you have your own iCloud ID. Don't share it with somebody else. I just had a customer in this week that him and his girlfriend split up and they're sharing the same iCloud. Well, it's in her name. And he says, she knows where I'm going. She knows every place I've been. She knows all my friends I'm talking to. I said, well, you're linked to her account. She's watching you like man. She's standing there reading everything you're doing in a day's time. She can look on your GPS log and tell right where you've been. I said, she knows everything you're doing, Chad, because she does. I said, how does that happen? I said, well, you got to get her to unlink this account. So,
or just create your own.
Yeah, create your own account, but just you've got to unlink her first. You've got to go in there, get her off there, and then go link your own account, get all your stuff backed up to your account. So anyways, it was just kind of a funny deal this week. And people just don't realize all the stuff of security has to be about yourself. Don't share it with anybody, not even your closest friend.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap things up, if you guys want to go over a little bit where people can find you, Charles Mall, more on the software side of things with the IT Village, and Charles Miller has a store, NBR Electronics, that'll deal with some of the hardware stuff, if you guys want to explain some of that.
All right. Well, my environment's more like the private club, and which is online. That's the only way you can get a hold of me if you don't know my phone number, and that's the itvillagetours.com.
Yes, and I'm at NBR Electronics downtown in the professional building. And you can reach me there at any time at 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Closed Saturdays and Sundays.
Looks like we have one phone call here right in under the wire. You got about 1 minute. Go ahead. You're on with K1 Tech Talk.
Yes, good morning. I have a simple question. How do I get rid of a home page of... I'm a new customer, UVerse, and the old... Juno page keeps showing up on the screen.
Well, in your browser, you know, what you use to browse the internet, you can actually change your default page because there's an internet, like for example with Internet Explorer or Edge, there's a internet options and there's your default page. So you make that whatever you want and that's what it'll come up with.
You look for the default icon and click it.
Well, there's internet options, so there's settings in your browser.
Settings.
Yeah, settings in your browser, and you'll go to options. And then in there, it'll show you where your home page is at, and you can change your home page to whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
And you can get rid of all the old Juno bars and stuff.
Yes.
Yep. Just, yeah, I like using the Google page because it doesn't have much.
Nothing's on it. It's clean,
Yep, it works.
Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call. That'll about do it. Once again, every Saturday morning around 7:30, right here on K1, we talk technology with Charles Miller and Charles Mall on AM 1400, FM 93.3. Guys, we'll see you again next week, okay?
All right.
All right, we got Green Country Gardener and ABC News coming up at the top of the hour. Once again, 48 degrees. It's nearly 8 o'clock on KWON, AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON.